fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through this season of Lent together. If you didn't have a chance to tune in, the program yesterday started. Really, a theme I'd like to talk about this whole week, coming from both Matthew and Luke's account in the Gospels of the temptation of Jesus in the desert, because there's so much there for us. First, we see the battle Jesus himself went through. And yesterday, I began by saying, really, not even reading that passage, but read the passage in Matthew prior to it, and the one in Luke that was prior to it, which is the baptism of Jesus, when he's about to really, his itinerary, his calling, his mission, his great spiritual combat is about to unfold. And the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus there, not because he's never had the Holy Spirit. What we see there is the anointing of the Father sending the Son into battle to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill what God has called him to do, that the plan of God is now about to unfold. And there's so much that we need to see about ourselves in these passages. First of all, as I said yesterday, by the way, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are right there on the computer. You can listen to them on the computer, or download them, put them on your iPod. All programs are also accessible on AveMariaRadio.net. But what we see in the baptism of Jesus is the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit on the Son, and the Father has this beautiful line that I spent all day yesterday talking about, this one line: "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Jesus' identity comes from the Father. It doesn't come from what he did. In fact, Jesus' ministry hadn't even started, hadn't even accomplished anything yet. So the Father isn't saying, "Hey, look, this is my beloved Son. I'm really well pleased in him because he's great, he's cool, he's perfect, he's accomplished all these kinds of things, so he finally got my attention." No, his love for Jesus precedes what he does. It's like the love of a father or grandfather. Even yesterday, my wife and I were watching one of our grandchildren, 3-month-old grandson Charles. And he's totally dependent. He hasn't accomplished anything in life. But I'll tell you what, his mother and his father and his grandma and his grandpa absolutely love him, right? And we're just so pleased that God gave him to us as a gift. He's so precious. And in the world, somehow, as we get older, we start with a different kind of calculus. It's as though God's loving us is something that's only going to come as the result of what we've accomplished. And that's the world's way of looking at things. And men are particularly susceptible to that. And I heard a wonderful talk a few weeks back by an old high school football coach, Joe. I can't remember Joe's last name, but he said there's 3 great temptations to masculinity that happens with young men. They get tempted to believe that their identity and their authentic masculinity, which comes to them from God, it is a gift from God, is found on the ball field, in the bedroom, and in the billfold. 3 B's. That is, you're not a man unless you can be physical and aggressive and basically have no emotion other than, you know, just being that sort of quintessential macho thing, right? So the billfold, that somehow our identity is caught up in our money, and men really get trapped into that whole thing. And then sexual conquest is another one. So the culture is constantly serving up, this is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to be a woman. You better do this or you're not going to get the respect of other people. You're not going to be a fulfilled man or a fulfilled woman. And we're so desperately needy and weak that we're suckers for it. And the devil seduces us. So here's Jesus now. He's going forth into the spiritual combat with clarity about his identity. He can go into battle because he's rooted in the Father. And his identity is a gift to him from his Father. And it's a gift to all those who are baptized into Christ as well. Because as I said yesterday, the Gospel of John tells us he gave us power to become children of God, to share in what belongs to Jesus. So, so important to internalize reality in our own life. Let's start with Luke today. Luke's account, chapter 4 as well, first verse. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil." It's important for us to see. Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit. So in one sentence, we're going to hear about the Holy Spirit, I think, 3 times. First, Jesus is filled with the Spirit through the baptism that he received. Every one of us who are baptized into Christ share this same fullness and gift of the Holy Spirit. As he returned from the Jordan, he was led by the Spirit. All right. He was full of the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. Welcome to the Christian life. This is what the Christian life is. Baptism is what? It's repentance. It's being baptized into Christ. It's turning toward the Lord with my entire life. And when I'm baptized, the old man is put to death. When I rise from out of the waters of baptism, I rise now, the old man dying. I'm no longer bending my knee to the world of flesh and the devil. What I'm doing now, by the grace of God, I have a new power and a new capacity now to step into God's plan and purpose for me. It's the Holy Spirit who imparts to me this identity as a son or daughter of God. And so Jesus goes forth in the fullness of the Spirit from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit. So in baptism, we're filled with the Spirit, and it's that Spirit that leads us into the mission and the purpose God has given to us in the earth. I misspoke. I said there were three mentions of it, but there's only two mentions of it in that first sentence. That is the Holy Spirit. Okay? It says, for 40 days into the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Now, many of the saints, in commenting on this passage, say this is like an analogy for what we're going to experience, because just as Jesus was baptized and moved by the Holy Spirit to enter into the wilderness to take on the temptations of the enemy, we're also in that place. We're baptized into Christ, and we enter and live in a fallen world now in a new way in the Holy Spirit. And the devil's coming after us. And this whole journey of life between birth and death is a great battle. It's a great conquest. It's an empowerment in the Spirit to enter the battle that Jesus fought against the kingdom of darkness and to take our place in it. So we are entering into the wilderness. I know the world wants us to think this is home, and that life here is meant to be a life of perpetual comfort, entertainment, a kind of Disneyland from here to the grave. But the reality is, we're in the midst of mortal combat. I mean, we hide from it. We can't bear to look at it. Just look at the news every day. Why can't we stop killing ourselves? Why is the world perpetually almost in a state of war of some kind? Why are kingdoms raging against one another all the time? Why is there constant economic crisis rooted fundamentally in greed and control? Why are our inner cities filled with so much violence? On and on and on. Now we have a new epidemic of heroin addiction and young people and people dying from heroin in the United States. Why is that all of a sudden emerged again? What's going on in the human heart? Friends, this is a battlefield. Absolutely. And there is a great contest. There's war going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and the battle is for eternal souls. And now the enemy, Jesus' mortal enemy, is coming after him to knock him off the course God has given to him. This is also an image of what's happening here. You'll see the devil quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, and it's the people of Israel who are also called son of God, who also wandered for 40 years in the desert. Here Jesus is going to be in the desert for 40 days, but 40 years they were there, and they were disobedient to God ultimately. Jesus came from his baptism into the wilderness. The people of Israel came through their baptism, passing through the Red Sea, right, and the miracle there as Pharaoh pursued them. And God rescued them, and it was a kind of baptism, Scripture tells us. And they were baptized to enter into the desert. And God revealed himself to them and their commandments and the way that they should live, and they fell short. But what God was doing with the people of Israel was to reveal his desire for a people, to have one people that he could call his own. And from that people of Israel that failed, God, the prophets told us, would raise up his Messiah. And his Messiah would take the people of God, would be a light to the nations, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world, and would lead them into the kingdom of God forever. And so where Israel failed, where Adam failed, Jesus Christ is the victor. This is what we're seeing here. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. So in kind of colloquial terms, you think of kids, well, if you're so tough, prove it. So if you really are the Son of God, are you really the Son of God? Prove it. It does have, friends, the kind of echo of the garden, where the devil wanted to cast doubt on the minds of Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Are you sure he said that? Here's, are you really sure who you are? I don't think you are who you are. And I don't think you believe who you are. So why don't you prove it to us? So in this moment of weakness, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and what is he? He's hungry. And so the devil tries to trick him by using scripture and appealing to him and tempting him in a moment of weakness in his hunger. Fasting for 40 days and 40 nights is a long time. And he's saying, okay, now you're in this position of weakness. Why don't you just command that stone, turn into bread, Son of God, if you're so special? Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Matthew's gospel says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is not just talking to the devil there, friends. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. How can I find life? How can I find life when I'm hungry, when I'm hungry for more, when I'm weak and I'm sick and I'm broken? What direction is life? Where can I find it? Ah, the world will tell us you can find it in lots of possessions. The more you have, the fuller you are, the better you'll be. You better secure all that. You better build your barns. You better build lots of them so you can feel secure. You can reinforce your sense of who you are by what you possess, by what you have. That's the voice of the world. What does Jesus say? It's as though, friend, imagine yourself in the desert next to Jesus, and you see this temptation going on. The devil's about to test him. And something inside you might say, yeah, that makes sense, Jesus. Give yourself some bread. The Father would want you to eat. Jesus looks at you right in the eye. He said, brother, listen to me. Daughter, listen to me. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word which comes from the mouth of God. If you want to reach fulfillment, if you want to come into the possession of your heart's deepest desire, if you want to live forever in glory, if you want to become a partaker of the divine nature, if you want to possess in your life something that will never, ever die and will feed you for all eternity, and you will be full, if that's what you want, then obey the Father. That's the food Jesus is telling us. This is the way of the disciple. This is the way of the son and daughter of God. Friends, we're starving. The world is starving. And we're stuffing ourselves with counterfeits, expecting to be filled. It's crazy. It's a demonic lie. Life comes from God, from knowing God, from being in relationship with God, from loving him and being loved by him, and receiving his commandments and his plan for each one of our lives. That's life. And his forgiveness and grace and the sacraments and his word, all that stuff he's come to feed us with. So great lesson today. Let's just chew on this one. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.